Premier League clubs have been nominating their community captains. I'm very glad to say joining me now is Joe Jackson of New Park Village Football Development, who's won a Premier League award. Joe, good to see you and congratulations.
Yes, bit of a surprise, but fantastic anyway.
Yeah, well, great to be on. And I have to say, knowing some of your work over the years, only right and proper you get awarded that in that particular way. So did you see the sort of the great and the good down there when you got the award?
Well, Chris, I would say so. I met up with Gary O'Neill, who was at the training ground. It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, those who have seen the footage or the video would have seen that I'd gone into a meeting to do an interview, only to find out that it wasn't really an interview.
It was a con.
It was a con, yes.
A bit like, well, this is your life moment, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
No, brilliant. Many congratulations for that. What was particularly cited within that for the award?
I think it's just the number of years that I've been running New Park Village here in Wolverhampton.
And how many is it?
That's 26 years.
Well done.
Yeah. I had hair when I started.
Yeah,
you know, so, but no, it's always good to be recognised. But as you know, we don't do it for awards and things like that. We do it because it needs to be done. You know, so so it's been great. It's been a great few couple of weeks.
And how's New Park Village been developing over the recent years? Because been bringing more and more young people in there, haven't you?
Yeah, I think. You know, it's gone from strength to strength. You know, it's fair to say. At the minute, we have, in terms of our academy, we have 10 teams, and we're just starting to grow a girls section. So we've got one girls team at the minute, and we want that to grow to 10. You know, we hope it's not going to take too long a time to get there, but you know, we're optimistic that will happen. We run a number of different initiatives. You know, we have a development centre. We're just beginning a futsal program. We have some programs that we run in the school. So yeah, right across the city, we're trying to just use football as an opportunity to engage young people.
And since we last chatted, you've got a ground.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been about 4 years in the making. You know, in the sense of we've had a tough time trying to make sure that we got over the line, but we got over the line on the 17th of October.
Okay.
A 25-year lease, and that's at the former Wolverhampton United football ground on Prestwood Road.
Right.
Based in Wentzville.
I bet, mate, that must make you feel absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we've trudged along for 26 years, you know, we've been homeless, so to speak, but it's fantastic to know that we've got a place that we can call home.
Indeed. Now, you know, you indicated that this is much more than about the football. You know,
absolutely.
This is working with, you know, some of the most vulnerable young people. Obviously, last week we heard of the tragic stabbing of a young person in Wolverhampton again. And the work you're doing with young people, probably protecting them from some of the culture that young people get drawn into.
Absolutely. I've said this many, many times that, you know, I was born and bred in Whitmarines, and whilst, you know, in my younger days, you know, gangs weren't like they were today or where they are today, should I say. But nevertheless, those distractions were there, and football really kept me focused.
Mm.
And I felt that as it was able to do that for me, I felt like, you know, that could do that for somebody else. And that's really what, you know, what's kind of giving me that sort of feeling to try and get something that the young people could engage with. And they've done that for 26 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel somebody asked me, you know, how many, you know, what sort of numbers you're talking. I said, I really couldn't tell you, you know, I don't count them. I just know that that I've got to create something. And throughout these years, we've had families, young people, parents engaged in it, grandparents engaged in it. You know, now we've got like three generations. You know, you've got a grandma who used to bring her nipper.
How great.
Who was bringing their grandson now, you know. And that's over the years. And for me, one of the big things that, you know, people ask me all the time, when you're going to finish? I said, I'm not sure. I don't know, you know, and I really don't think I am, you know, until the good Lord decides to call it a day for me. But one of the big things for me is to recognise that a lot of the issues that happen with our young people and our families in our communities is the fact that there is so many things that are inconsistent. there's a lack of permanency, not knowing what tomorrow may bring. And what we've done or tried to do over these 25 years is to create that, is to be there, you know, every Saturday morning, people knowing that they can come to football at a fairly cheap cost, you know, and feel that they can engage in something, and knowing that there's a structure there, and you know, for me, it's long may it continue.
Key to that, though, is actually those young people know it's a safe place, and the people there they can trust and they can talk to.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me is it's everything's grassroots. You know, our coaches are young people who are from the neighbourhoods, who are from those areas, who themselves maybe have been on the periphery in some cases.
Yeah.
And then they themselves gain their confidence. They go to college, then they go to university, and then they come back into the community. And then the youngsters who they're working with start to see that. And in effect, rather than feel that, you know, the only alternative that they've got is to see the wrongdoing and think that's the only way. In actual fact, there's another way. And those young people are consistently in their neighbourhoods demonstrating that it can be done.
I had the privilege a few weeks ago now to record an interview, which is part of a BBC documentary to go out later this year, on knife crime. And one of the people in that was a chap called Mark Brindley, whose son James died 7 years ago in a stabbing.
Okay.
And he formed the James Brindley Foundation, which he's supporting. Okay. And one of the things he was saying in that was actually, you know, there's, you know, if there's a way forward on this, there's got to be a community solution to that. And what brought to me my mind was that old African proverb: "It takes a village to raise a child."
Absolutely does, though. You know, that and we usually, you know, the term that we use concerning NPV football development is that we're family, you know, and we want to, you know. There are different ways that people want to identify a family, but there's in my mind, you know, love is at the centre of that, and we have to make sure that we demonstrate that, and so that's what we stand for. We want to try and just make sure that we stretch our hands out to those who are struggling, and sometimes they don't even know that they're struggling, but we're there, and we're there in the context of football. And if there's any help they need further than that, then we find ways of getting that help.
And you're a person of faith, and you talk there
Absolutely.
About love.
Yeah.
And obviously your faith inspires you with regard to the self-giving kind of love that you're talking about here.
Absolutely. You know, it's, you know, I make no bones about it. You know, that's at the root of this program. I'm a Christian. I'm a born again Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he's saved me so that I could be an extension of him. And so, you know, the way for that to happen is giving me a gift. My gift was football. I was able to play as a professional, as a young person. It kept me out of trouble. And if that worked for me, why can't it work for other young people?
Yeah, indeed. And a captain of Bilston Town, I seem to have. Someone told me once.
I was also a manager for about 3 years.
Oh, were you as well? Yeah, okay, yeah, well, yeah. Forgive my ignorance on that one.
Yeah, so, and done really well, you know, if I say so myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you take that in there as well. And with regard to, again, with your faith, you know, does that give you the determination to give? You know, you say you're going to keep going till the good Lord takes you. Does that give you that strength and determination?
Absolutely.
The job's not done.
The job isn't done, you know. Like I said, you know, when we're working now with the child of those young people that I used to coach.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what, you know, I sense is one of the biggest problems is that, you know, whether people like it or not, families are broken. Fathers aren't, you know, males, positive role models, male role models are not in the home so much. And we provide that, you know, the vast majority of our young men who are coaches are male. And our philosophy is that you're like the youngsters, big brothers. Do you know what I mean? And if there are situations that you need to know about, you know, just for argument's sake, you know, whilst the boys are coaches, we also make them do other courses like child exploitation and different things that allows them to have an idea of what some of the young people might be going through, so they know what to spot what to identify when situations occur. And that's massive for me. It's the ability to know that your community, and that's what it's about for me.
And if you don't mind me asking, you know, your faith is a very strong one. As you say, you're open about it and always spoken clearly about it and always motivated others through that. How did your faith grow? Was it always there? Or was it one of those moments that changed your life?
You know what? What I would say to you, Chris, is that, you know, my parents came to the UK, to Wolverhampton specifically, in early 60s. You know, I was born 1966. You know, 1966 is a famous year for England players.
I can remember it, actually. that's the difference between you and me, age-wise.
Yeah, but and so for me, it was a case of they came and they were very deep in their faith, and I had no choice. I went to church, as the rest of my family did, and you know, just like a typical youngster, you know, at the age of 14, I thought I was a little bit taller than my dad, and I thought, well, you know, this is time for me to make my own decision. And so, yeah, I wasn't baptized or saved or anything like that, but I knew enough about the faith. I went out into the world, so to speak, and then came back when I was around 39, realizing that there was much more to life than what I was going through at the time. And I became a Christian. I was doing this football program before I became a Christian, but it made me have a deeper understanding of the work. I probably did it before because I liked football and wanted to just get some kids into football and maybe get them to play in pro. But then I came to realize that this was deeper than that. This was about using the gift of football to just make a pathway a little bit better for some young people who probably wouldn't have the pathway for themselves.
Well, congratulations again on your Community Captain Award. As I said, well deserved. But also, you know, thank you for all the work you've done with young people and through you to all the people who work with you, because we know you are changing lives and you're probably saving lives as well. Thank you
for that, Chris. Can I just that little bit, that football ground thing, though, I want to send out a clear message. Do you know what I mean? I want to have a space where families, young people can engage, you know, and I really want the community to get behind this. I want an opportunity for young people to help to design it, parents to be a part of that, and any kind of, I don't know, sponsors, potential sponsors, business owners, companies who can support us, and tradespeople, you know, people who are in a construction business, people who are, painter decorators, I guess, plasterers, all those kind of guys, you know, anybody that can, you know, groundsmen, people like that, anybody that feels that they can contribute to this initiative, you know, we want this to be a very special place.
And how can they best get in touch with you?
They can get me via email.
I've got your email, I can give that out.
Yeah. And my telephone number is 07932-348894.
I'll put that out for you as well. And obviously you're very popular. You're very busy as well. Joe, very, very thanks indeed.
Yes, thank you as well, Chris, for having me.